Well, I know I'll throw statistics out there, and I just kind of like throw stats at you. And when you talk about, well, when we talk about government spending, those stats always leave me feeling a little bit wounded. Some of these housing stats in Montana are doing the same thing here in terms of like $700,000 is the medium home price in the Bozeman area. I mean, there's just, I don't know. And you're talking median home price. So it's not like, what is it, 1,500 square feet? And that is not sustainable. Welcome back here from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana. There's more stats here that can wound you as well. You talk about the home prices doubling between like 2019 and 2023 here in Montana. Our salaries didn't double. Our ability to pay for new homes. So there is a housing crunch, and a lot of it has to do with housing shortages in Montana. Senator Forrest Mandeville is with us out of the Columbus area, a land use planner by profession as well, and one of the main architects of some of these potential solutions across the state of Montana. Montana Land Use Planning Act was one of those that got across the finish line, was a fair amount of bipartisan support. A recent Supreme Court decision also cleared some bills from 2023 regarding duplex zoning reform and some commercial zoning reform as well. So that those tools are on the plate. Let's welcome Senator Mandeville here and get into this discussion. And we could just talk forever, Forrest. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tom?
Doing good. Thank you. I know you're running again in Senate District 29 out of Columbus, but it's a little bit to the east, quite a bit to the west, north and south as well. So you got Red Lodge, you're up to Big Timber, big country too. And we were just talking with Heather McDowell from your area, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, get into this. Supreme Court decision, without getting into, you know, much about what was on the docket there, it paved the way for some tools. Let's talk about those tools and then your assessment of where we're headed.
Yeah, so those tools that were tied up in the court decision, a lot of those were, we did those in the 2023 legislative session. You mentioned some of those, the duplexes in larger cities allowed by right on single-family zoning lots, accessory dwelling units, ADUs, granny flat-type developments, also allowed residential developments in commercially zoned areas in larger cities, and then the Land Use Planning Act, which for larger cities also changed the way we do planning, where we put a lot of the emphasis on the planning documents, the goals of the community, of the citizens in the community, and try to streamline the development review and public process through that. So those were the bills that were tied up in court. We call those the Montana Miracle. Those were some of the main bills from those housing reforms. And they were tied up in court largely around public participation issues. Montana has some great protections for public participation, and that is great. Always want to make sure that we have public involvement in any decisions. But there was a challenge that some of those public input provisions weren't strong enough in the Land Use Planning Act. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously that we had made those protections strong enough. We were confident going in that those protections were strong. We purposefully built that into the Land Use Planning Act and some of these other bills to make sure that there was still that that great opportunity for public involvement. And just very glad that the Supreme Court saw that and agreed with us. So that opens it up to move forward with the continued implementation of those bills. A lot of those are already being implemented around the state. So we are seeing some impacts from those bills already. And now not having this this court cloud hang over us is great. Those communities can move forward with confidence to make sure these are implemented. Residents can have some assurance of how their communities are going to look. Developers can have some assurance of what they're running into when they propose development. It's just a win-win all the way around.
What do you see was the cause of our housing crunch? Some experts have estimated tens of thousands of housing units short in Montana, 5 million housing units, up to 5 million short nationwide. I mean, that's a really big deficit to make up, especially under previous administrations and administrative rules. Have we identified the issue? And I know there's a lot of solutions out there. We want to stay away, I think, from government subsidizing of the market, because that manipulates it in a negative way, usually.
Yeah, you know, for the reasons, I like to blame Kevin Costner. I think it's mostly his fault.
But, I think a lot of people are going to agree with you, right?
Yeah. But no, we saw a lot of people moving into Montana for various reasons. I think kind of a COVID reshuffle also drove people to Montana.
But we were short of housing before then, though, weren't we?
We were. And what we were seeing was what all this kind of exacerbated was this single family only zoning that we had in the state and in a lot of places in the state, where through zoning codes, people were told you can only develop large lot single family residences. And that drove up housing costs because you couldn't do smaller lots. You could not do duplex, triplex type development. We were seeing people really being forced to stay in their homes, not be able to find someone to buy a starter home. Mm-hmm. So you were seeing people that would stay in their homes longer. Which is what we did. So by allowing accessory dwelling units, for example, you allow people to age in place a bit more, live with family in a finished garage or something like that, just provide more of those opportunities. The duplex bill allows some of that missing middle housing. So we're not talking the high rises, the huge apartment type of buildings, but just some of that gentle density development that allows for more housing to be brought online with less government restrictions. And it's really a free market approach to where we weren't saying you have to build a certain way, you have to do just a certain type of development. We were saying, let's let the market decide what development is needed in these areas. What are people wanting to buy? And then making sure that those options were allowed under some of these zoning codes that we were seeing.
You go back to like 2023 for these bills, and then you continue that work in 2025 as well. Maybe talk about private property rights and how you balance encouraging the market without mandating the market.
Yeah, we did not do any mandates other than changing some of the structural ways that plans are reviewed. We did not go in and say you have to build a certain amount of units a certain way. We really left that to what developers wanted to develop, which is what the market dictates. We're seeing this a lot in land use, where some places have completely deregulated, for example, their parking requirements, especially for commercial developments, because you're not going to build a commercial development with no parking. You're not going to start a business unless there's parking there. So why is the government coming in and telling you you need X amount of parking? There's some balance in there. There has to be handicap accessible parking, some ADA parking requirements, which is handled through the building code. But why should the government tell you you need 20 parking spaces if you think 18 is going to be fine? Mm-hmm. And, if that's not enough, the market's going to tell you that's not enough. You need to provide more parking. If there's too many people coming to your business, you need to find some more parking for them. So that's kind of the approach we took.
Yeah, what has been the impact?
So we're already seeing some impact from these reforms. We're seeing housing prices aren't increasing as much as they were before. You had mentioned we were seeing housing prices doubling over a handful of years. Yeah. which was far outpacing inflation and population increase. So we're seeing those start to come down a bit to even flatline. Rents as well are not increasing as much. They're starting to flatline, even decrease in some places. So we've really seen some more opportunity for people to buy homes, to rent homes, and to find housing through these bills.
Is that rental market, and I know in watching the creation of these bills, it's always been a focus there. Talk about how that the impact of these bills has been on the rental market.
Yeah, we're, you know, there were some places where it just the rents were going through the roof and increasing, pushing people out of out of their housing. We saw in a lot of places where these urban camps were starting to spring up from largely people who could no longer afford rent. So they were finding other places to live, whether it was living in trailers or tents. And we've seen through I don't want to say these are the only things that have addressed that, but we are seeing that those are decreasing. We're starting to get people housed. We're seeing these rents come down, which does allow opportunities for some of the people that were struggling with rent to get back into permanent housing.
And I know I got you out of a meeting, and I very much appreciate the time. Can you hang on? I want to take a break. I want to have you put on your plate as we come on back after this break. If you had that wish list, you know, you'd probably done some easier lift, some low-hanging fruit. If we were to talk about what is the next heavy lift that you think we can accomplish and get off the plate here that's going to make a difference, State Senator Forrest Mandeville. It's Senate District 28, actually, out of the Columbus area for re-election again, a land use planner by trade. And not the only one, but one who has been leading out on housing and other reform needed for Montana to address our housing crunch. And Senator, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate that and your public service in this area. I know you've had bipartisan support. You've had some good progress. As a matter of fact, I know that when you referenced the Montana Miracle, that's not something you guys named it. That's something other states named it, because they're using Montana as a model for trying to accomplish some of these things. So maybe you address that as well. But the question that I have is, you know, when you try to address these things, you look at what you can accomplish, the low-hanging fruit, and then you set your sights on a heavier lift. What is a heavier lift that you think is going to help here in Montana?
Sure. Yeah. So we're seeing these proposals adopted in a lot of states. That were, I know New Hampshire has picked up some of these and run with them. Arkansas has also looked at what we've done with duplexes and ADUs. There's a suite of bills proposed in Michigan this year that build on a lot of what we did in Montana. So these are being picked up nationwide for implementation. We did have, you mentioned the broad coalition, a lot of support that we had. There's a lot of states that are trying to learn from Montana and replicate that, which I'm extremely proud of, and it's very humbling to see that happen across the country. Thank you. Yeah. There's always more to do. And once you have some success, you're always looking at what's the next, what are still some obstacles out there that we're looking at addressing to try to increase some affordability. And there's still some stuff out there. We've been looking at the building codes, for example, and what's required in the United States compared to other countries, even, you know, with regard to the size of elevators, even, and where they can be placed, whether they can be in a stairwell or have to be outside of a stairwell or co-located with a stairwell. It's some really fascinating stuff that we're looking at, and whether or not those changes can be made safely and efficiently and create some cost savings. One bill that we passed last session was the single stairway bill for certain buildings. So instead of having two stairways in buildings, you could build with one. And those have made a difference as well. So we're starting to look more into the building code stuff and see what we can address through there. There's also some other things we're looking at as far as, are we in the right place with parking? How can we Should we do more incentives for cities, for counties that have zoning to make some of these allowances, or do they have to be mandated through the state to be adopted? Minimum lot size, maximum lot size, those always come up. We're looking at what we can do there. Texas actually has been trying to build on some of the Montana discussions we've had around minimum lot size. So that's exciting to see. And we can learn from some other states as well, is what they've been able to do as they've learned from us. So
Senator,
it's an exciting time to be here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because there's opportunities and there's need, and you guys are addressing it. And it looks like there's a lot of people on board. So thanks for the work that's getting done. And I appreciate chatting with you, Forrest, and the work you do. And we'll catch up with you again, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate being on and appreciate chatting with you this morning.
Yeah, State Senator Forrest Mandeville. Again, it's a Mandeville for Montana on Facebook if you want to learn more. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.